Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Starting a new chapter today. We're just only going to get through verses 1 and 2. Start with verse 1. Proverbs 4:1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So we'll take the first clause first. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. To hear, as if you didn't know this already, means to perceive or have the sensation of sound, to possess or exercise the faculty of audition, of which the specific organ is the ear. It is to exercise the auditory function intentionally, to give ear, hearken, listen. It's to listen to a person or thing with more or less attention or understanding, to give ear to, hearken to give audience to. So the first part of the definition is what physically happens whenever your ears hear things. And then the second part is what we a lot of times mean when we say hear, like, did you hear me? You know, not did the sound waves vibrate against your eardrums, but did you comprehend what I said, right? Were you listening? That's what the second part of the definition there shows us. So we're supposed to hear ye children the instruction of a father. Instruction is the action of instructing or teaching, the imparting of knowledge or skill, education, information. So our education from this text starts very early. Whenever our fathers and mothers start teaching us anything, that is the beginning of our education. So there are three different applications that I thought of when I was looking at this verse of hear the instruction of a father, the first of which is the most obvious one, and that is our natural father. We are the biological children of our natural father, so that would be the most primary and obvious interpretation here. And it is our father's job to instruct us. We know in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says that ye fathers bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's basically what it says. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And nurture means breeding, upbringing, training, or education. So nurture and instruction are speaking of the same thing. And then in Psalm 78 and verse 5, it tells us that the fathers are supposed to teach the children and pass the faith down to them. Psalm 78 and verse 5. This is how God has designed the faith to be transmitted through families, from father to son, mother to children as well. Psalm 78 and verse 5 says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So Solomon is telling us here just what the Lord was telling whoever wrote this song. Maskil of Asaph. So I guess Asaph wrote it. I don't know what Maskil means. But anyway, Solomon is teaching us here to pay attention whenever our fathers teach us something. And we should take heed to their instruction, according to Proverbs 13 and verse 1. It's really sad today that a lot of children grow up without a father. Like, there's no father in the house at all. And it's no wonder why our society is so messed up, because they just don't have that. They don't have any instruction, any teaching, nobody to show them how to live. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So if we're wise, and if children are wise, they'll pay attention. A lot of times, that's the problem. You don't realize it whenever the time when you should be obeying the commandment, listening and to hearing the instruction, then you're too young and silly to know what a blessing it really is, to pay attention to it. But this would go, this of course goes especially for young children, but it would also go for older children too, adults. Especially if your parents are converted and godly and give you good advice, if they're wise, then yeah, we should listen to their instruction too. Some people, you know, have parents that aren't converted or they're not wise and they're going to give you terrible advice. And of course you wouldn't want to to take that advice. But yeah, if your parents are wise, yeah, take their advice, absolutely. Then we have the second application here would be our pastoral father. And I'm really careful how I say this because Jesus said, call no man on earth your father. Of course, and Catholic priests are called father, and that's, of course, wrong. But there is a sense in which that a pastor is like a father to church members. And Paul basically said as much, he did, in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 15. I joke with my friends Eric and Jill. They joke about being my parents. They've done that for years, and I always laugh about how they got started early at 6 and 8 years old, but I got started really early, like at negative 30 some. So, 1 Corinthians 4, 14 and 15. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And of course, he's not talking to his natural children. He wasn't married. He didn't have any natural children. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, see there how fathers and instructors go together there? For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So he was their father in the faith. He was the father of their conversion, if you will. Now, not the father of their regeneration. He's not their spiritual father. He didn't give them eternal life, or he didn't cause them to be born again in a spiritual sense. But he was the father of their conversion because he was the one that first taught them, and they were converted under his ministry. So in that sense, he's their father.
So I could call you my father then.
You could, yeah, yeah. You'd be one, and Bill would be another one that were converted. You know that I had a part in your conversion. The rest of you were, you know, I came along later. You were already converted whenever I came along. But Pastor Mott, or I guess in your case, Kristen, Paul Christensen. Yeah.
No.
I baptized Christina. She, yeah, so sort of. Pastor, she learned a lot from Pastor Mott before I ever got here too. But Galatians 4 and verse 19. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So he's likewise calling the Galatians his children. And in this case, he had some disobedient children because the Galatians, well, and the Corinthians for that matter, interesting, the ones that he calls his children are the ones that are giving him all the trouble. But they were the fruit of his evangelism as well, his children in the faith. And if you think about it, so I'm going to give you a whole bunch of reasons here, a whole bunch of parallels between natural fathers and pastoral fathers, if you will. So a father teaches his children, so does a pastor, obviously. A father comforts his children, so does a pastor. If you look in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So that word as there shows that in the same way that a father, what are the three things there? Exhorts, comforts, and charges, then Paul did likewise to the Thessalonians. So here's three different churches now that he's acting as a father towards. Father warns, admonishes, and rebukes his children, and so does a pastor. We already looked at 1 Corinthians 4:14 and 1 Thessalonians 2:11, so those show that warning and admonishing and rebuking there, all three. Father bears at least some responsibility for the actions of his children, and so does a pastor. Especially the younger your children are, the more responsibility you bear for their actions, right? If they go off and steal something, well, you know, you're going to bear that responsibility because you didn't train them correctly, and probably by law. I don't know, by law? I don't know if parents can parents get charged if their children steal something? I don't know how that works by law. It's,
well, I don't know. If
that
they
is,
stole it, the parent might have to pay for it.
I don't know. That's an interesting thought. I know of a pastor that had a daughter that stole something one time when she was little, and he was not happy. And he made her go back and give the thing back, apologize, give the thing back. He paid for it, and then he threw it away, and then she really got in trouble when she got home. But anyway, yeah, that's definitely something that you want to put the kibosh on. You don't want to let that go unchecked, certainly. When that girl told me that she never stole anything again, so she learned her lesson. Oh yeah, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. But just like a pastor or like a father would bear responsibility for his children's actions, in a way a pastor does too, especially if he didn't do anything about it, or at least didn't warn about it. In Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the pastor has to give an account, like an accounting of what's going on with the church. So in a sense, and God will, you go and read in Ezekiel, God will take the pastor to task for what the people do if he doesn't warn them, right? Because he told Ezekiel to warn them, and if you warn them, then their blood's not on your hands. But if you don't warn them, then he would require their blood at your hands. A father worries about his children, so does a pastor. A father has to sometimes get his children out of trouble, and so does a pastor. There have been pastors that had to get people out of trouble, people that do things that they shouldn't, and somebody's got to bail them out and help them get through it. A father loves his children more than they know, and so does a pastor. Paul talked about this in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. So that's the way that a pastor feels towards his church. And sometimes it doesn't come across that way, right? Just like sometimes children don't think that their parents care for them because they get on them or something. And sometimes some people probably don't think the pastor is all that affectionate towards them because he maybe gets on him or he preaches on stuff that makes him mad or something. But it is an act of love. And it's the pastor's job to instruct the church, just like a father instructs his children, in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is the way that God set up the church for people to learn the scriptures, not only by reading themselves, but also by having it expounded and taught by pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are gifts that he gave to the church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means the building up of the body of Christ. It says in Jude, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that is an unattainable goal, but yet we still strive for it, to try to be as much like Christ as we can. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see here, church members are called, Christians are called children, and the younger in the faith and the more immature a Christian is, the more swayed they are when they hear that somebody comes along and tells them something, and, oh, that sounds reasonable to me. They just don't have enough knowledge yet to realize, the error of it. Just like little children, you can tell a little kid just about anything and they'll believe you, right? And so we don't want to be like that. We want to be them which need the strong meat, not the milk of the word. And we don't want to be carried about and always waffling and wavering from one false doctrine to another. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So that is what God has given the pastor for, to teach, to instruct the church, to keep them from spiritual danger, to help us to grow and to mature, just like a good father would his children. And then I'll give you one more on that point in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. This is spoken of the servant of the Lord in verse 24. And he must in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And you notice there's three people that are necessary, three persons necessary for a person to be delivered from an error, from believing something false, and that is the preacher to instruct, God to give repentance, and then the person there in the next verse to recover themselves. They have to be willing and wanting to do it, to come out of that error. And church members should heed the instruction there in Hebrews 13 and verse 7. I already read 17, but we'll get 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then there's the third father figure that we should pay heed to his instruction, and that is, most importantly, our Heavenly Father. We are his spiritual children. In Romans 8 and verse 16, he's our Father because he created our... He's the reason for our existence, for one thing, our physical existence, but then he created the new spirit within us, making us born again. Romans 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the Spirit bears witness within us, giving us faith, giving us the fruit of the Spirit. And we can know by those things that we are God's children. And when we listen to his instruction, then that's further evidence. And he instructs us through his word. If you turn back to Psalm 32 and verse 8, this is a verse that an old lady that I used to visit in the nursing home, she would quote this one a lot. This is one that she had memorized. And it wasn't one that that was on the tip of my tongue. It wasn't one that I used a lot. But now when I read it, I can hear her saying it. And it's a really good one. It's a good one to memorize. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It says in 1 Thessalonians that you're taught of God to love one another. And there's other places where, like in Hebrews chapter 8, when it says that they shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother to know the Lord, for all shall know me, right? That the Lord does that inward teaching and writes the law in our hearts and allows us to know him. And then I'll give you another one in Jeremiah 35 and verse 13. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. So that's how he instructs, is through his words. And his words are written down in the scripture. That's why it's called the word of God. So that's how he instructs us. He instructs us both inwardly there with regeneration, but then also outwardly with the Bible. And of course, we should take heed to his instruction, most importantly. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. It says in Hosea, is it Hosea 4:6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why our country is in such a mess, and why so many families are in such a mess, because they have a lack of knowledge of God. And the fruit of that and the result of that is destruction, and it's misery and unhappiness and all kinds of problems. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." So he's talking about the New Testament. That's the more sure word of prophecy, and we ought to take heed to it. And then the second half of Proverbs 4:1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding." To attend means to direct the ears, mind, energies to anything. To turn one's ear to, listen to. So it goes along with hearing. Whereas hearing can have just the simple connotation of just, you know, audition. But attending clearly then shows us what the hearing is supposed to be understood by. And that is making sure that you are focusing your energies on listening and really trying to understand. Because, you know, there's hearing and then there's hearing, right? I mean, every husband knows this. When your wife's talking to you and you're not paying attention, you've heard what she said, but you weren't paying attention. You were zoned out or whatever. And so we ought to attend unto what the Lord says and to what our wives say, for that matter, because it's rude not to pay attention, isn't it? So, but you know, that's such is life. That happens sometimes. So this tells us here, just this simple fact that the word know is used there. It says attend to know understanding. This tells us something simple, that understanding can be known, but it takes effort, because that's what attend means, to use effort. But it can be known. You can't say, "Oh, I just can't understand the Bible." Well, there's some people that can't, right? Because they're not born again. But if you're born again, then and you put a little effort in, you pay attention, you listen to the sermons, you can understand things, right? But you got to listen, right? If you're sleeping during church, you're probably not gonna learn much, right? You got to attend, you got to pay attention. Attend. Attend church, and then attend while you're attending church. Attend to hearing. If we're to understand the things of God, we must direct our ears, mind, and energy to it. If you think about, like, you know, when you're in school, certain things you just were boring to you and you couldn't have cared less about, and you probably didn't learn hardly anything because you weren't attending to it, you weren't focusing on it, right? But then there's other certain things, maybe shop class, you know, for a guy like Austin or something, which you probably learned a lot of stuff there. You took shop class, right?
Building trades, yeah. They called it.
Building trades, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so math, like, is boring.
Yeah, math is boring, right? History is boring until you get old enough, and then it's not boring anymore, right? But you know what it's like when you find something that you're interested in, and then you're actually focused, and you're paying attention, you're trying to learn it. Well, that's what God's telling us to do here with understanding of His Word. Put some energy into it. It requires will, desire, determination, and persistence to acquire it. And you remember Proverbs 2:1-6. We've already been through that already, that we have to seek it and cry after it and desire it and search for it as for hid treasures and all those things. And if we do that, then it's given. And I won't go back over that verse since we've been there many times. So if we pay attention to what our earthly father, our pastor, and our heavenly father teach us, then we will know understanding. And you think about it, I mean, those are probably the three persons that you learn the most from in your life, right? The three male persons, anyway, right? Earthly father, pastor, and the Lord. Teachers at school, maybe a little bit, but probably learn a lot more from the other three, right, than you do from any other man. Okay, so that takes us to Proverbs 4:2.